All right, so we just recognized that given that how many times last week I had to say, okay, we got to move on, and how many times and how many people were like, can we talk about that, and et cetera. Plus, I just realized that a couple, you know, we just have maybe even a buildup of questions even from the loves section. That wouldn't be out of bounds, although we'll focus more on anger. Let's not touch the topics that are on that are coming ahead, which would be guilt and shame, fear and anxiety, and sadness, grief, and depression. Let's hold off on questions about those. We'll get to those, and actually two of those will also have their own Q&As. But anger seemed to stir the pot, and we wanted to just take time, so BJ and I are up here. If you want, we can stage a fight, and then you can watch. No, but I don't think that's actually. But what questions are still operative in your minds about anger, whether righteous anger, sinful anger, how do we tell the difference? There might be any number of different things you want to dig down deeper into. So please, at this point, I will turn it over to you, and we will do our best to give you answers from God's Word. Does anyone want to start us off? My Bible's up here.
Martha.
I think I found that often I end up in the same situation over and over and over again when I get angry. So can you give some tips on how to train yourself to be prepared? I won't say not to get angry, but how to deal with that situation.
Okay, just repeating it for the tape. What if we have a situation that repeatedly makes us angry, makes us angry again and again and again? How do we prepare ourselves for the next time that rub comes so that we can actually be ready and respond better when it comes another time? Is that right?
Thoughts? Am I on? Yeah, okay.
I think probably, Martha, one of the first things would be what you probably are already doing, which is recognizing it and then anticipating that it's going to come again. So let's say it happens to be with a particular person and you know that you're going to see that particular person later in the day. That can then drive you to prayer for that person or for that situation. In order to get you ready, that's now I'm back to Romans 6. Present your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So if I knew that I was going to face that challenging situation that morning, maybe there'd be time that morning that I would just try. Maybe it would be good to set that aside and say, God, I have this situation where I'm going to be tempted to sinful anger. Let me have right expectations. Let me have a mindset of love toward this person and help me to respond in grace rather than in anger. Might be one way of presenting your members to God as instruments of righteousness. Or maybe, Lord, help me to be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven me. And maybe the other person isn't even a believer, but you hope, you pray that thing that would be true of them. So I think going into battle with your armor on would probably be, yeah, that would be where I'd start.
I think maybe one other thing is if it is a consistent
trigger.
Yeah, if something consistently hits you, to ask yourself, why is it that this consistent thing hits me? And my response is anger. Do I have, you touched on it already, and I know it's touched on last week, do I have unrealistic expectations? But another thing that sometimes anger is it's like a thermometer which reveals a fever. Right? Rather, I'll just say it's a fever. And the fever is actually revealing something that is going on inside. And there can be idols of the heart. Anger can reveal idols of the heart. So if you want something, and anytime you don't get it, you go to anger, and it seems like an uncontrollable response, you may need to ask yourself, okay, is the thing that I'm wanting or expecting, has it actually become an idol for me? So I actually think a significant thing that we need to think about in regards to anger is, what is this revealing about the desires of our heart? And perhaps is there a ruling desire in our heart, a hidden idol that is not being satisfied, that is being frustrated, and thus we are responding in anger?
BJ, can I follow that up? You know, because with expectations, you can think about, well, why would I expect, you know, identifying your expectations and thinking, oh, I'm thinking it shouldn't be this way. But in point of fact, let's say you're talking about an unbelieving colleague who is going to make your life more difficult this week.
Yeah.
And then you think, well, okay, he's acting like an unbeliever. That's just what unbelievers do. Why would I have that expectation? But I think sometimes we can get caught up if, especially within the church, with brothers and sisters, it's like, actually,
They shouldn't be responding.
They shouldn't be doing that. Any particular vectoring for that situation? You know, my spouse is acting this way. Well, they shouldn't be. Actually, God's word calls them to act a different way. And yet they're acting this way, and that's making me angry. Or,
I think several things. So, number one, you need to know that actually I'm coming more and more to realize that anger is something that I significantly struggle with. That actually I just don't think has been on my radar as much. So, I've just been thinking about this a lot, and so, but I do think this. I think, number one, I think the more you relate to brothers and sisters, the more you're going to see brothers and sisters' failings and sins. That is just a reality, right? To dwell above with saints in love, oh, that will be glory. To dwell below with saints we know, well, that's a different story. So when we are with one another and we see one another's faults and failings, and our just personality differences, right? I think several things become like oil, which cause the engine to run smoothly. And I think those several things are quite simply, love covers over a multitude of sins. And then number two, just a really big, massive, healthy dose of, I am the worst sinner I know. Not this person, not my brother and not my sister. I think we actually should have an expectation that we are going to be frustrated by our brothers and sisters. I don't think we should have an expectation that we're not. I think we should have an expectation that we are, because we live in the already not yet. We're all in progress. And actually, anger and frustration towards our brothers and sisters might actually be revealing good things, that we're actually in community with one another such that we're close enough to where we actually do experience that. So that is actually, in a sense, a positive thing. And I think when we just experience those frustrating situations and circumstances, I think our first go-to should not necessarily be, I want to speak the truth in love to my brother or sister. I think probably the very first instinct should just be, that's not a big deal, and I am a sinner. I'm the worst sinner I know. And, of course, my brother or sister is going to say things that may catch me funny. And you know what? I'm probably more quick to justify myself as to why that caught me funny. You know, in other words, think, I'm in the right and they're in the wrong. What they said caught me funny. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, it's not what you said to me, but it's how you said it. And I'm like, how can I say it to you in such a way as to where it doesn't catch you funny? And am I actually responsible for the fact that it caught you funny? excuse me. So I just think, an understanding that we're all in progress, love covers over a multitude of sins, and an understanding of, I'm the worst sinner I know, and of course my brother and sister are going to offend me, because we're sinners.
And then, of course, if you actually can't get past it, you do need to have the conversation.
Yeah.
But you're hoping, when it's something small, like a tone or whatever, yeah, then you would be able to move past it.
Yeah. And if you can't move past it, then yeah, you do talk. But I think it's also really important to remember that just because you're offended doesn't mean anybody did anything wrong. Okay? I do want you to remember that, brothers and sisters. Just because you're offended doesn't mean you did anything, doesn't mean the other person did something wrong. That is not the dogma that's coming from the zeitgeist of our age. The zeitgeist of our age is that if you are offended, then the other person has most definitely done something wrong. That's just not what the Bible says. And so let's remember that. And if we feel offended by something, if we feel angry, and I think offended is very quickly and easily tied to anger. I liked what you said last week when I listened to the the course seminar, when you said, "I'm shocked," at that being essentially a synonym for anger. So when we are, in fact, offended, it doesn't mean the other person's done something wrong necessarily. So I think a grace that my wife does to me oftentimes, if I'm bothered by something, is she just says, "Why are you bothered by that?" And I'm like, "Okay, good question. Let me think." And I take a step back and I think, you know. And oftentimes it was me. Corey? Not Corey. CJ.
Mine kind of relates to Bobby's.
Can you speak up, CJ?
It might sound a little silly, but like at work, I often hit and hurt myself. And my first reaction is genuinely to get angry. I get angry after I hurt myself. Yeah. And I'm just wondering, how should I be interacting with this? Is this something I'm just like, what's wrong with you? Is this
okay, so when
that
you have
is
physical
hilarious.
Pain, if you encounter physical pain, and some of our jobs actually deal with physical pain, you know, like you're an electrician, you hurt yourself, you know. Well, first you look up Tim Hawkins' sketch
Christian
on
cussing.
Christian cuss words.
Yeah.
Now, how do you respond to the anger that just comes from sudden, unexpected physical pain?
Hey, can I make a joke out of that? That's actually so. But you also said something last week that was helpful. You said if you're angry, is it better to be angry and not have an outburst, you know, or is it better to be angry and have an outburst and don't be super spiritual? And you said, and it was a good thing to say, yeah, it's better to actually just be angry and not have an outburst. Well, you know what? If you can substitute some Christian cuss words, that is better than, you know, if you hit yourself with a hammer and you say, "Son of a motherless goat," that's a whole lot better than just throwing out a string of cuss words. That's improvement. And first of all, I don't know anybody who doesn't hit their hand with a hammer and is like, "Praise God." I just don't know anybody that does that. And if you do, please come and talk to me because I want to know your secret.
That would be overstating. So the question of what if you watch someone punch your child, right? And is the rising of your anger at that point, is that sinful? Okay, so we have to distinguish. There is an instinct of anger that is appropriate in the context of evil and injustice. Well, it could very well be righteous anger. The question is, righteous anger, which we acknowledged last week is rare, but even righteous anger can turn quickly. Right? Righteous anger can become unrighteous anger if it's not processed well. So that your question, your situation is a little complicated because you're asking two questions, and I'm saying the premise that rising of anger, if you watch someone hit your child, it would be wrong, is maybe a little faulty.
Correct.
But given that, let's take a different situation, a cleaner situation. What if, you know, someone cuts you off in traffic and the anger rises up or something like that? You know, something would be inappropriate to be angry about and the anger rises up. Yes, even the anger rising up is sinful, but the consequences of having it rise up and yet not come out. So maybe I need what your question is.
Sometimes, not always, but sometimes it feels like anger, and I think your mom was saying this last week, but was that...
Flashes.
What?
Flashes without even any conscious thought.
Like, you know, if someone scares me, I'm like, ah! You know, and you could be like, oh, that was the wrong response. But it's almost, I want to say almost like, I can't control it. And which I know is it sounds bad, but it's kind of like a reflex that comes up of like, someone just said,
how do we deal with anger when it seems to come up like a reflex?
I think the more you think of it analogous to another sin that you may have a bent towards, let's just say lust. Some guys feel as though I have no control over this. But the more they say no to it, the desire comes, they recognize the desire is there, they say no to it, they say yes to righteousness, they do their best to put off and to put on. Okay? The more that happens, the more you don't feel the rising up all the time. Okay? I think a similar thing could be said of anger. The more you realize the rising up of it, and you just try to think for a minute, okay, do I have unrealistic expectations? Is there maybe a hidden idol here? Which, by the way, please don't think that you can figure out what the hidden idol is. That takes lots of self-awareness. And honestly, it's typically best figured out in the context of a dear brother or sister. So I will oftentimes talk to, frankly, my wife if I'm struggling with something and she helps me think through it. Or I'll talk to Brad or another one of the elders and I'm helped to identify what's going on in my heart. So, but the more you take a step back and then deal with that rightly and repent of it, the more you do that, the more you're going to actually find, oh, I just got cut off, and that guy actually flipped me the bird, and I wasn't even mad about it. And you just realize, oh, I've grown, you know?
Yay!
Cool. By the way, we were driving in Providence last weekend, and I didn't even do anything wrong, and this guy, like, turns around, and he just goes, boom, and he just nails me with communication, as Goose would say in Top Gun. And I was so happy that I was just like, I literally laughed. I was like, the guy just flipped me the bird. Like, what did I do, guys? That was amazing. Anywho, go ahead.
Yeah, the verse that comes to mind for that is, train yourself for the purpose of godliness. That assumes effort, and it assumes a training regimen which takes time. Which means at the end of that training regimen, which of course will never actually come to the end of it, but toward the longer you go in that training regimen, the better and better it's going to be. Which means the less and less quickly will you see anger rising because you're actually training yourself to work through it well.
But that's not to say there's not situations where it's appropriate to have initial reactions.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. No. You know, if you have a situation of adultery, the injured spouse, anger is an appropriate response, and probably something would be wrong.
Very wrong.
If it wasn't there. Now, but do they then get a free pass to express their anger in every single possible way that they feel like it? No, it needs to be channeled by God's word. So yes, there is a context for being angry in the context of unrighteousness.
I think seeing your child hit is one of them. Like, your child shouldn't get hit. But what do you do with that?
We can always control our... A Christian
response.
Can always control his response. Not necessarily the... He can't control his circumstances, but he's always responsible for his response.
And remember, I think this is just a good note to remind all of us that we are not trying to become unfeeling people. We are trying to think and feel like God himself. And so God feels. He feels deeply. And so too we want to feel and feel deeply. And anger is something that God feels. And so it's not as though the scripture is calling us to just be flatline people. That's not the case.
Ethan.
So coming back to the CJ's question, like we hit our hand with a hammer and our initial, now I'm angry. It's a good step just to not to, you know, allow that anger to come out, whether it be words or actions. That's a good step. And then over time, we'll just kind of grow into, as we control the outburst, that'll slowly control the actual internal feeling. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, I think it will help. And then you're also, but you're actually doing that as an act of obedience to God, right? If let's say you're early in this process and you just want to, you know, dance around and, you know, yell everything that you possibly can, right? Then you controlling yourself and putting yourself under self-control, that's a practice of obedience, which is going to lead, you know, Lord willing, to more obedience. But it's, I don't know, I'm not trying to be dumb, but like, you know, CJ can expect to hit himself maybe over the course of the day, which is just can be a matter for prayer. Lord, when I inevitably hurt myself today, Lord, may I respond rightly. May I have my expectations set that I'm going to hurt myself, and so may I deal with the hurt in a way that...
Yeah, and so those of you who are dealing with people in your job, you just deal with people all the time. You should have the expectation that I'm going to have interactions which are going to tempt me to anger, and may I deal with them patiently, wisely, and courageously.
If you've got children, if you've got a child that you're struggling with,
hello, moms.
Time,
yeah,
you know,
wow.
It's like, okay, you know, pray for them, pray for yourself.
I have a more of a comment going back to the zeitgeist.
Okay.
In terms of being offended.
Zeitgeist is the thinking of the day.
Yeah, thank you, Brad.
This was a new, maybe people have heard this, but I was a few months ago doing a DEI kind of training thing with work, and I heard the lady talk about the platinum rule. I don't know if you guys have heard that.
Have not heard of the platinum rule.
Yeah, it was really interesting. It was, we go by the platinum rule, which is treat others the way they want to be treated.
Oh, that is terrible.
Yeah.
That is terrible.
Yeah. So, for the platinum rule...
burn that, Christian.
The platinum rule, which trumps Jesus' golden rule.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Which is just the height of
arrogance.
We know what's best.
Yeah, is
yeah.
Don't...
So I was just like, wow, I've never heard...
Say that one more time, just so I can get into my mind. I kicked it out so fast.
Treat others the way they want to be treated.
Wow. Wow. Can you imagine if God treated us the way we want to be treated? Oh, we would all go to hell.
But yeah, it just comes at you, you know? I mean, it's...
How does that even work between two people?
Yeah.
It's like, if they're both operating under that rule, it would be untenable.
Yeah, you kind of have like some, I don't know, you kind of maneuver around one another. I don't know.
The way you want to be treated today is different than the way you want to be treated tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I'm expected to know that.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. Now, since some of us got angry at hearing that, PJ, what's how do we respond?
Yeah. Well, I'm one of them.
All right. How are you? Okay. We've got a real time example here,
well,
folks.
Yeah. I just think. I mean, it's. I think. Frankly. It's fine to see the lies of the devil, which enslave people and send them to hell. It's fine to see that and say, that's terrible. And then the very next thing I tell myself is, so I don't think I sinned actually there. I think that was a fine and righteous response to say that's a lie of the devil that's going to send people to hell. And you know what? If it's embraced and believed even subconsciously by people in this congregation, then it's going to hurt this church. And that's a terrible thing. And so there's a right.
We can hate the devil.
There's a right uprising to that. But then I just think, unbelievers gonna do what unbelievers gonna do. And I just know that. And then it's as simple as that. And I just know, what's my job? My job is to believe the truth, and my job is to shepherd you in the truth and pray that God would be merciful to us and allow us to live in a way that preserves the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, and that proclaims the gospel in such a way that saves a dying world from this madness. And then I also just secondarily, just a quick pastoral note, I always, brothers and sisters, want us to be more concerned about our own issues, not the big bad world, okay? So I think it's very easy for Christians for us to just be mad at the world, right? And what we think about most of all are the news, the news coming out in the secular world and what's going on in the secular world, and we're just living in either anxiety or anger or some form of despair concerning how the world's gone to hell. And so, well, yeah, it's always been going to hell. And so I want us to instead be thinking more about ourselves and our own relationship with Jesus Christ and obedience to him and love for one another and love for the lost, and not, you know, in other words, remember, your biggest problem is you,
but
not,
part of that,
not the outlines, not the headlines.
And part of that can be, you know, James says that pure and undefiled religion is this, to visit widows and orphans in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world, which does mean that when we hear something insane from the world, like the Platinum Rule, we can say, I will not, I need to resist believing lies, and part of my job as a member of this church is to believe truth and exercise truth in
That's
the context of my relationships with my brothers and sisters. So I should not go around expecting that everyone is going to treat me the way I want to be treated, but that they're actually going to treat me the way Jesus instructs them to.
Yeah.
So, Natasha?
So, if you aren't having, like, outbursts of anger, does that change your relational responsibility and, like, repentance towards others when you are angry? If it's just an inward expression, do you then, like, are you still responsible to go and meet with a brother or sister if you became angry and have a conversation about it? Or how does that shift as your anger is shifting?
Great question. So, for the tape, when you have an outburst of anger, obviously there's cleanup needed. You have to talk that through. But what if there's not an outburst? What if you've just been angry in your heart towards somebody? Does that change what needs to be done relationally? So, number one, the question would depend on whether you have ceased to be angry and have worked through it internally or not. If you have not been able to, like, if I get angry and then I work through it and I repent to God and I've not actually, the other person is unaware of it, I may not need to speak with them. Sometimes I may need to, but I don't necessarily need to.
And I would encourage you, get pastoral counsel before you do that. Because that can create a whole lot of relational awkwardness that isn't necessary at times. Hey, I just want you to know you didn't do anything wrong, but I was really mad at you for 2 months. Well, do you think that person is more or less likely to spend time with you now? So, you know, that just can create awkwardness in the church. Like, you got to tell, it's like you got to tell young men, okay, do not confess that you were lusting, you know, concerning a sister. Do not confess to her that. Okay, just stop it. You know, but don't talk about it. You know, don't make it weird. So, similar thing with that.
Yeah, and then if you are not able to put it to bed and you're remaining angry, even if you've not done the outburst, then you need to go and say, listen, you're totally unaware of this, but I'm actually mad at you. And I'm sorry, and we need to talk that through.
And again, the other person may not have done anything wrong. So you may just need to talk through why it is you're angry.
Sometimes, even when you know that the other person hasn't done anything wrong, and yet you're angry and you can't work through it, then sometimes that conversation.
And that is an expression of humility. And that actually helps you to repent of your anger when you just kind of humbly... Sometimes you have to say things out loud that then you're just like, boy, I hate saying this out loud because it's so darn embarrassing. And it makes me look so bad because, you know, I shouldn't be struggling with this. Well, but you are. And I do too. So you say it out loud. And frankly, there's just something about bringing your sin to the light where it just... It loses its power. The sin loses its power. And you're like, okay, now I can move past this, now that I confessed my stupidity and my sin.
But it's always good to check it. Like, if you're really like, I don't know whether I need to or not, you know, just call someone that's not involved that you trust and say, listen, this is my issue. I recognize it's my issue, but I'm trying to figure out if I need to go talk to them. We answered that?
Yeah. Okay. It was more like a broad question, not like a specific
question. Sure,
sure. You're like, I'm not asking. Yeah, never mind.
Oh.
Asking for a friend.
Okay. E.
How does bringing our anger to the individual, whether it be, or how does it differ between bringing it to a brother or sister in Christ versus bringing it to a non-believer?
Much. How does when you have to go to a brother and sister in Christ and confess you're angry and try and work through a conflict, how does that compare to when you're doing that with a non-Christian? Well, number one, you have much lower expectations when you're dealing with a non-Christian. Much lower expectations. The chances of it going well are just lower because you're not following the same playbook. So you just have to expect that you may, it may not go well. And you actually have to, because remember, Romans 12, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with everyone. Right? And sometimes it does not depend on you. So I don't want to be pessimistic. I don't want to be pessimistic. I think still think you try what you can. You try what you can, but you can't expect that the other person is going to act after a redeemed manner because they're not redeemed.
Can I throw a different angle
on
that? I think what you said is entirely true. Just a different scenario with that is, let's say it's a work environment and you just had an outburst of anger in the presence of, you know, three or four of your coworkers, and you just unloaded on somebody, right? I think obedience calls you to just say, you know, guys, frankly, I just really messed up. I should not have had that outburst of anger. I should not have responded like that. That's totally my bad. I'm so sorry. So it's a non-Christian setting, but you as a Christian are owning your sin. That actually could be a powerful testimony to the gospel. I guarantee you one of those guys is going to come back and say, dude, why did you do that? You know, you didn't need to do that. You know, so-and-so would have done that. He would have never said anything. And then you could just say, I'm a Christian, and so when I publicly sin, you know, I want to publicly confess my sin because I don't want to portray Christ incorrectly. That's not how Christ calls me to live. I shouldn't have done that, so I just wanted to confess it. Like, that can be a powerful testimony of the gospel.
Because the world doesn't
acknowledge
do that. Wrong. The world doesn't confess sin.
I saw Renee.
Renee. The young men want the time today. Renee.
Hey, CJ can come next. CJ's being bold. It's wonderful.
I've been joking with a brother in Christ that I live with, and
the name of your husband will not be revealed.
We'll call him Bob.
Just when like their telephone or the computer or on and on. We already talked about the driving analogy.
Yeah, what happens when the object of your anger is something impersonal? There's not a person to be angry at. You're angry at a situation. Something isn't going right. You're trying to get this screw to not be stripped, and it's stripped, and it won't turn. Well, number one is, it is possible that you have to work through and recognize that anger ultimately trickles back up to God, and there is a sense in which when you're being angry at the lot He has given you, and that lot involves a stripped screw, and this inanimate object
is under God's sovereignty and
under God, who has subjected the world to futility in hope that one day it will be redeemed. Sometimes you just have to say, "Okay, God, it is Your will that I be dealing with a stripped screw right now, and I don't have the right to. I don't have the right for my day to go the way that I want it to go." So if you can take a step back and say, I want this to go easily. God has ordained that it go hard.
Yeah.
Who rules my day? It's not me. It's God. So I don't really have the right, you know. God's, I mean, let's take Jonah, right? Do you have a right to be angry that the plant died? You know, and Jonah's like, I have every right to be angry that the plant died. And God's like, you idiot. No, you don't. To this brother.
What would you recommend the sister in Christ to?
Oh, what would you recommend the sister in Christ who happens to be in proximity to the brother in Christ who's struggling with anger at the inanimate object?
Yeah. Yeah, so you want me to answer that?
Yes,
one.
I do.
Yeah.
Or Caleb just came in. Think, maybe he could answer.
Yeah, we'll just bring Caleb Abernathy up here. Yeah.
Hey, guest preacher.
Yes. Well, I think, you know,
stand on top of your pedestal.
No, I think sometimes. No. I think there's a time to say, sweetheart, do you really think you should be yelling at your phone? You know, and then I think there's times to just. It's a time for you to just. Step away and go get a drink, and leave him to the Lord, and to know the Lord has him and he'll do business with the Lord. So I think there's a time for both, you know, and I take that general principle from the Proverbs, answer not a fool according to his folly, and then the very next verse, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceits. And you're just like, wait a second. Did you just say two things? Yes, he did say two things. Because there's a time when you do one, and there's a time when you do others. So I think it's true in that scenario too.
And there's sometimes when there might be a third course, which is not that you talk to him about the anger, but you just go over and give him a hug, and just say, "Hey, you know," and you don't address the situation, and you just you encourage him to step away and get a drink.
Yeah.
And you're just recognizing that, that's rough. Depending on the marriage, that may
it all
go well
it all
or,
depends,
or not.
Yeah, it all depends on context. It all depends on context. Yes, ma'am?
Along with that, can you be angry and not sin? Is in the Bible. But
there are lots of brothers in the church. That's right. That's right.
I don't want to get sinned against in that moment, right? Like parking the camper.
Like,
that's totally legitimate.
So you just want to get out of the blast zone?
Yeah. Yeah, well, okay. since love, you're speaking of me, which is entirely okay.
And try and summarize that a little bit for the tape.
I don't know if I can summarize that for the tape. The tape just has a tough. Okay, sorry for the tape on that one.
The fact that anger at an inanimate object can quickly become involve people who are in the blast zone.
So number one, yes. If I'm so just so you know, brothers and sisters, when we have like a when we're gonna go camping. there's going to be some point in the day when I either need to apologize to my wife or to my kids. Okay, so when we're like packing up or going or parking the camper or something.
Which
okay?
you apologize in the presence of whoever was,
I do.
Was who was present to see the sin.
I
right?
do. And my yeah. kids just know it's coming at this point, and they are so gracious towards me, and they're like, yeah, Dad, it's okay. And my wife is gracious towards me as well. But let's say when I'm parking the camper. By the way, when I was a kid and I just saw my grandparents, they had a camper too, I just knew that my grandpa was lit whenever he said, Mama! If he said that, it was over. And she just said, well. Because she was like, it could it be just a little bit over here? It could it be a little bit over, just a little bit more? Nope. Could it be a little bit? You know, so all right, never mind. That's not our situation. But at some point, I might get angry. So I think, number one, I actually don't think that my anger is justified in that moment. I think it goes back to God's providence over the inanimate object that we were just speaking about with Renee. So I think that my anger is more reflective of my having an expectation that everything just go fine, and so which I do have that expectation overall in life, which I wish that it would. But then, two, I certainly don't have the right to become mean bear to Kristen, right? And if I do, I just need to confess it and ask for forgiveness.
Julia.
And so then you approach yourself about that. Is there a way to approach a brother or sister and be like, okay, maybe it would be helpful for you to think about this before it happens, because maybe they don't necessarily think about it beforehand. Does that make sense? Is there a sense where I can go to someone and be like, help them to think about it beforehand, or is that just like never my place?
Can you help someone else preemptively deal with their anger?
I think, let me give an example concerning the wisdom and care of my wife towards me. So I think that we can talk about pretty much everything, but I don't always have the best first response. And I think she's very wisely learned and wonderfully learned to help me. She has learned to help me. And so sometimes she says, I need to talk to you about something, but I'm mindful that it might not be an easy conversation for you. And that's just her letting me know, hey, we're going to talk about something. And I kind of prepare myself, so I think that's legitimate.
It would also depend on the nature of the relationship, right? It would.
We are out of time. I think these questions have been so wonderful, and as I listened to last week's tape, I just thought, boy, what a thoughtful congregation! What a thoughtful congregation, and I'm grateful.
Because anger is wily, and it likes to hide.
It does.
And then sometimes it likes to expose itself.
That's right. That's
and
right.
Both are hard.
Can I just pray for us? Lord, I want to thank you for your mercy and grace towards us. I want to thank you for spending your righteous anger on your Son. The righteous anger that would justly have been poured out upon me. And upon my brothers and sisters here, but was poured out upon him, so that there is no more anger towards me. Father, we thank you and we ask that you would help us to continue to think and feel like you, and that we would subject ourselves, even our emotions, to your holy and righteous word. Give us grace, and may this core seminar continue to be a means of grace to that end. We ask it for our good and for your glory, and through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.